What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. I got my boy Robbie from Frio here. He's going to help me interview these guys that are doing some really cool advocacy work for spinal cord injuries. We got Andy and Chris. They're with Gridiron Heroes. They're, vendors here at SPATS.
Right.
Vendor here at SPATS 2016. But you can look them up, gridironheroes.com.
.org.
Gridironheroes.org. So, you guys, why don't you go ahead and give me a brief overview of Gridiron Heroes.
Well, Gridiron Heroes started when my son Chris suffered a spinal injury playing high school football. At the time, there was really no help. Coaches didn't know what to do, where to go. They didn't know how Chris's life was going to change, how the family life was going to change, or even much less what a spinal cord injury entailed. And so part of the process was to be there for other families that were going to go through this. Now, Chris was going through some ups and downs. We had almost lost him twice in ICU and once when he had come home. And all I could offer him at the time, you know, was that we felt Chris was here for a reason. You know, all I could do is say, hey, you know, if the Lord had wanted you by his side, he had three chances to take you. You know, something good is going to come out of this. We just had to be patient. And one of the things that we came across was that Chris had just reached his one-year anniversary date of his injury, was getting to a point to where he was starting to shut down on me, didn't want to go to rehab, didn't want to get out of the house, and, you know, just kind of starting to hit the depression point, right, you know, right. Where it was starting to hit, you know, until he was still in that chair after a year, and so it was kind of getting to him. And so what I basically did, got him out of the house. I said, let's go to a football game. We went to a state championship game there where we live in San Antonio at the Alamo Dome.
That was and corny, right?
That was actually against Everman and Burnett.
I remember watching that game.
And it was Corey Fulbright. About 45 minutes into through the game, Corey came up and made a tackle. And Chris and I were sitting there watching him through binoculars, and we didn't see any movement in the hands and in the arms or anything. Chris kind of just knew. He said, Dad, and he turned to him. He said, Dad, we've got to go help him. I know what he's going to go through. You know what the family's going to go through. We need to go and visit with them. And that was the inspiration behind starting Gridiron Heroes. And, you know, part of our deal is Gridiron Heroes has never been about deterring anyone from playing football. We still love the game of football. All of these guys, and we've got quite a few, you know, people now that are involved with our organization. But here in the state of Texas, unfortunately, we've been very busy. We've had 28 young men that have suffered spinal injuries playing football, with the last three that we added last year. And so we've been busy in Texas. We have an additional 50 families that we reach, you know, and worked with and reach out to all across the country. And so, you know, we've been getting a lot of attention. Gridiron Heroes was, we've been involved with the TV show Friday Night Lights. Part of that storyline, if anybody ever saw the show Friday Night Light, the initial pilot for the show, part of that storyline was Chris's story. We worked with the writers of the show. And so it was, we've been able to get a lot of attention, been on ESPN, cover story for Time Magazine.
We were named
one of the top 10 CNN heroes, and Kurt Warner helped tell our story. Mm-hmm. We were also on HBO Real Sports, and you know, a lot of attention. And right now it's becoming more prevalent with all the things that are happening in football. More attention, you know, especially in concussions, creating awareness on that.
Absolutely.
Our documentary also has won a lot of awards, best feature documentary at the LA Film Festival. Best
great
feature
documentary, by the way.
Get to see it.
Yes,
so,
yes. We bought it off Amazon. I say we. I'm an athletic trainer. Our student training class. You know, we're going over spinal cord and everything like that. And I said, y'all got to see this. And we bought it off Amazon. We showed it to the class, and the class has never been that quiet. I mean, they're locked in.
Yeah.
To this story. And, of course, I know you guys. I mean, we've known each other here at SPATS for how many years. Yeah. And, of course, we see each other around now that I'm doing the whole vendor thing. But to see teenagers put down their phones, to see them lock in on a story like yours, and to know you guys personally, of course, it meant a lot to me. It was a lot of respect on their end. But the story truly is just – and it happens so often – and everybody's there initially, but what happens down the road
exactly.
at that 6-month mark, the
right.
1-year mark,
right.
when it's people right. are moving on? You see it. You saw it in the show Friday Night Lights.
Yeah,
Jason Street. I mean, obviously it was a show, and that's. I mean, you're Jason Street, right? You didn't play quarterback.
Yeah,
you're safety, right?
Yeah,
cornerback.
Cornerback. Okay, so that's what happens, and then you get to that point, and the people stop coming by,
right.
and they got to move on. I mean, it's just what. You don't expect them to be there every day forever.
Right.
And then what? And that's where you guys come in.
Exactly right. You know, especially after they graduate from high school, you know, because they're still having to deal with the day-to-day struggles of a spinal injury. And that's, you know, where we come back
that's
into
for life.
Play. Exactly. And that, you know, we come back into play. What does a mom do when the wheelchair breaks down? She has no money to fix it. You know, can't help. Some of the times we face a problem where the families are, they don't have enough money for a van, a wheelchair accessible vehicle. And
what are those, about 80,000?
They start at 50,000. They can go up to 75,000, depending on the size of the wheelchair that the young man is in, because some of them are in big, heavy wheelchairs. And
depending
so they
on
have,
the level of,
right,
of
their injury.
Paralysis,
right. And so they may need a bigger van. So those are pretty expensive. Those are around $75,000. And we've done 14 of those vans. We've raised enough money to donate 14 of those vans.
That's And I know here and all over the state, actually, they do fill the helmet campaigns.
Right.
And they
well,
go through the stand
actually,
and,
no, it's not all over the state. Just down here in the valley, yeah.
Okay.
I wish we could get more areas of Texas and throughout the country to be able to do a Fill the Helmet campaign.
Shout out Klein ISD. I've been trying to get
It's an awesome program. We're very, very grateful for the support that we get down here in the valley. They initiated the Fill the Helmet campaign right here. And, man, what an awesome job they do. Their goal is to get to 10,000. I think we got about 8,500 last year, and they've been climbing that. You know, each year they want to raise more money for us, and maybe this year they will, because Chris and I actually came to a symposium that they had, got to meet a lot of the student trainers that are going to be doing
there. At the Vada student
and so they were excited about meeting Chris and I, and because they had heard about us, they'd never met us, you know, they'd seen us on TV and stuff, and this time we got to meet a lot of the student athletes and then the student trainers, and so they were pumped about, you know, going out there and racing.
Did y'all
money.
Get out of there before they did the whole Star Wars scavenger hunt and everything went crazy?
No, well, we had to go ahead to the
Vada did their student workshop and they had a scavenger hunt and there were kids covered in pre-wrap laying on the curb outside.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was crazy.
Now, one question that there's actually a couple of questions I have, but the first one being, nobody likes to talk about it. Football coaches, they don't want to stop and say, you know what, this is a possibility. Athletic trainers, this is the one scenario that we never want to go through.
Mm-hmm.
How do you find that sometimes dampens or people don't open up and want to talk about this as much because we don't really want to say much or do much with this because we don't want to think that it would ever happen. And they may never come out and say it. Do you find that happens?
Yes. Yeah.
Was that one of your most difficult things to overcome?
That is always the difficult thing because not only from high school level, but from the NFL all the way on down.
Nobody wants to talk about it.
The way this injury has always been handled is out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
It's now starting to come back and haunt the NFL.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I get to, Chris and I get to go to a lot of coaching clinics, and we see a lot of coaches expound on building a program, a football program, on military principles. And I think that's fine and dandy, but I always try to tell coaches, so look, coach, you're building a program on military principles. It's great. But one that always seems to fall short is never leave a fallen comrade behind.
That's good.
Okay. These young men need help. Even after they leave high school, they fall in between the cracks. I give you a story of a young man that was injured in another state 10 years ago. They have to, continue with their lives.
Right.
But it's human nature. Most of their friends and everybody else go on with their lives.
Mm-hmm.
This young man became a forgotten athlete.
Wow.
Still on a ventilator, full quadriplegic. Storm came through, knocked out the electricity. But because he didn't have a $500 backup generator, he passed away.
Oh, my word.
Our deal is, as big as football is in this country, that should never happen.
Agreed.
I always try to put this in perspective. And everybody can remember when the racehorse Barbaro went down.
Mm-hmm.
When the racehorse Barbaro went down, the racehorse community raised millions of dollars, plenty of money, for the medical treatment and care of a fine animal. We, as part of the football community, need to value our human injured athletes as much, if not more, than what the racehorse community valued a horse.
You're right.
But we are a long ways from that. Gridiron Heroes has never been about deterring anyone from playing football. We still love the game of football. You can ask Chris, You know, we have events that we take the kids out to. We've got kind of groups in different areas. Every single one of them still love the game of football.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of them, when they get together, they'll talk about what they've been going through, but they all go back to talking about football.
Right, right. And that just presents kind of the out of sight, out of mind. You know, maybe a coach would be a little scared, you know, to see Chris come in. Oh, now my guys are going to be worried about that happening to them. And that's not necessarily the case, because the percentages obviously are very low. But every time you put on that helmet and it says,
yeah,
something bad can happen to you, whether right. it be a head injury or a neck injury, just very nonchalantly, they agree to that every time they put on a helmet. And I think the gravity of that, having been a coach and been an athletic trainer, to me, it's a value, because I want to tell my young man, you know, nowadays we're working on tackling skills, changing and moving more to a rugby style tackle. That's valuable to me. That's valuable because, not to say, guys, if you don't, you know what I mean, but to say, guys, this is the reason why. And every time you put that helmet on, this is something that's a possibility. We should not be afraid of it. That's like saying, I'm not going outside because it may rain.
Well, now that you brought this up, so I'm going to hit a subject mm-hmm. that has really hit me quite hard more recently here. The interest and the in rugby-style tackling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not sold on rugby-style tackling for our kids.
Right.
Okay. Rugby-style tackling is great for the advanced player, a college-level player, or
yes.
a professional athlete. But not for 4 to, this is my personal
right,
opinion,
right.
from 4 to 16 years old. First of all, and there's a lot of information out there as far as if we understand the makeup of the brain and how it reacts to an impact or providing an impact inside the skull, we know that the brain slushes
yes.
around, right?
Yes.
Okay. We know that the brain level from 4 to 16, the brains are not developed.
Adolescent brains are completely different.
They're not developed. We also understand that their neck muscles aren't developed either. Hawk-style
right.
tackling, it based is the way you kind of describe it is eyes through the thighs, cheek to cheek, eyes through the thighs, and then
mm-hmm.
you roll.
Yes.
Okay. When you roll for our kids, and the reason I say this is because in 13 years, this is the first year that we've had a brain injury, a spinal injury, and a death from Seattle, Washington, all teaching Hawk-style tackling.
Right, because the Seahawks actually were the ones that put
right.
out their video,
right.
and
right.
and Pete Carroll was trying to
right.
promote this,
okay.
and with a lot of in the coaching community, really, and I think this is actually why that rugby style tackling, it's the only style that's really made any change in how long, and that's why it's the big deal that it is. But
if you listen to Pete Carroll, okay, Pete Carroll said he taught it to his college players
mm-hmm.
and professional athletes. That's where he stopped. He never did say it was safer for the younger kids.
Right.
Okay. Unfortunately, coaches and kids want to emulate what they see on Sunday.
Yeah, pros.
It did not help that he won a Super Bowl. It did not help that he has the best defense
right.
in the NFL. But where is the scientific evidence that shows that it's safer for our little kids?
Correct.
There is
Correct.
None. Rugby right now is having their own problems in teaching. In Europe right now, there are
mm-hmm.
several people wanting to ban rugby for the youth organization. They have their own problems with concussions and injuries themselves. But there's no scientific evidence that we've ever seen that says it is safer
right.
for our kids.
Right.
Okay?
And to your knowledge, is there anything out there?
Yes.
Any style? So what style?
Our program, the initial Heads Up program that the
heads
NFL.
Up, yeah.
Okay. The initial Heads Up program that we started, our documentary, which is out there that you talked
correct,
about.
Correct, correct.
It introduced the coach that created the Heads Up program.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Hosea was
mm-hmm.
the one that created that program. The reason the NFL bought into it was because it was the only evidence-based program. It was researched out. The LA 84 Foundation out of California researched the program. By using our Heads Up program, it reduced the helmet first impact by at least 43%. That's 100% of the crown taken out of the tackle. Thus saying that we can say that we're making the game a little safer for our kids.
Right.
Whereas
there's no evidence based with the rugby
right.
style, which is so popular because of Pete Carroll, like
right.
you,
exactly.
you alluded to.
But the other thing is, if you've ever seen rugby and people, and I've talked to people that had played rugby, you know, where they're in that scrum, they're all gathered together. Mm-hmm. When someone breaks out, everybody is moving in the same direction. Mm-hmm. You don't have that in football. You got guys coming from all kind of directions. You've got a defensive back coming from one side. You've got one coming clear across the field. Mm-hmm. It's totally different.
At full velocity, full speed.
If you have somebody that coming in with that direction and they use the force of rapid and rolling, okay, the centrifugal force of that young man hitting his head. The reason I started a question was that after a week after the kid that died from Seattle, mm-hmm. there was another young man out of Riverside, California. Got a lot of attention, a lot of write-up on it. Now, this young man had suffered a concussion 2 weeks prior. And he was cleared to play, went through the protocols, had mm-hmm. the best helmet out there, the Rydell sensor helmet, you know, best equipment out. That does not prevent secondary impact. Now, not mind you, this young man had suffered a concussion 2 weeks, went through the protocols. Came up, they showed the clip, perfect Hawk-style tackling, cheek to cheek, eyes through the thighs, mm-hmm. and he rolled. But when he rolled, he hit his head on the ground.
Hmm.
Got up, staggered to the sideline, and went into a coma. They had to cut his skull open to release the pressure on his brain. That's when I started thinking about, okay, is this safe for younger kids?
Right.
They know their brains are not developed, their neck muscles aren't developed, so why are we teaching that style for our younger kids? Again, I have nothing against it for our advanced players, the college players, and those players that are on a professional level. But for high school coaches, I've written and published an article. I thought I was going to get a lot of flack for saying that, but I didn't. I got a lot of positive, even from USA Football. They, you know, I had some people that were there said, this is a problem that we're having because new coaches want to emulate what they see. Again, it didn't help that Pete Carroll won a Super Bowl, and he's got the best you know, defense in the NFL. But we have to go back to why we initially started the Heads Up program was to make it safer for our kids.
Absolutely.
You know, this is not about right, wrong, blame, guilt, or fault. This is about making sure the game continues, making sure it's safe for our kids, making sure they're having fun.
That's something that you say, make sure this continues. A team doctor I'm very, very close with, one time we were at a game and we were evaluating a concussion together, and after we got done evaluating that concussion, he kind of turned to me and he said, in your lifetime, football as you know it will not be football as you know it. Right. And, of course, that opened the door for the conversation of why and so on and so forth. But parents are afraid of that. You know, there's a lot of parents, oh, well, we can play basketball or we can play soccer. So, you know, so many other things.
I mean, you can suffer a spinal injury. You can get a concussion just walking out the door and, you know, falling. So, I mean, for our deal is we can't put our kids in a bubble.
Absolutely.
You know, we'd like them to continue playing and being involved in sports. And, I'd rather have them going out there and playing and being active than sitting there and playing on a video game.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But, we feel like this is very important, you know, to make sure that people understand that we still love the game of football. We still want to make sure that it's safe for our kids. And our documentary really kind of brings that upon us, you know, that it's about education, basically, you know, the education.
Available on Amazon.
Amazon, iTunes.
And that's actually how we got it. We went on there, and of course, it's so much easier than ordering DVDs and stuff. And just boom, download it right there, done.
Yeah.
It's a great documentary. We loved it. They also highlight, obviously, the CNN and how you were nominated for the CNN Heroes. And one final question,
hold up.
Final question from my end, because I got to get back to my booth here.
Mm-hmm. All right.
The other question I had, obviously we talked about how the stigma and what kind of tackling technique do you recommend? And that's all in preventing neck injuries. The head injuries we talked about as well. Gridiron Heroes, I mean, you can have a head injury from football. It would be a traumatic brain injury, a life-altering head injury. Have you dealt with anybody that has had not necessarily a neck fracture or paralysis,
but
dealt with a life change from a head injury with football?
Sure, sure. Yeah, we've had those calls as well. You know, of course, the other thing is not only just in football. I mean, the majority of our kids are from football, but we've had a cheerleader. We've had a pole vaulter, a baseball player sliding into home plate head first. We've had a wrestler, a hockey player, You know, just because they weren't interested in playing football, it doesn't mean we won't help. We get out there, we'll be involved with the family and talk to them.
And so really more so now that's the head injuries, spinal cord injuries.
And that's part of the other thing with our tackling techniques that we have. The tackling techniques also help prevent some of those concussions because your head is out of the way. You know, this is, you know, and it's a progression of how to teach it, you know, because you look at coaches, you know, sometimes, you know, they'll say, well, I've coached for 30 years. I've never had a problem or injury. But you may have an opposing coach out there that has a kid that's been taught to use his head, and he's a battering ram, you know. Uh-huh. It's about all of us coming together and understanding that we have to change the way we teach it to make it safer for our kids. And, you know, Gridiron Heroes has been in the forefront of making the game safer for our kids, you know, because we, in reality, we would like nothing more than to not have to add to our family of Gridiron Heroes. You know,
it's kind of like athletic trainers. You know, if people say, oh, well, you got an easy job, you're not doing anything today. You're just sitting on the golf cart.
Yeah,
right. This is what you want.
Yeah.
You know, you guys should be chilling in South Padre, not getting phone calls. Hey, we need you to, because that's what you want. But in the event that it does happen, because inevitably it does,
yes.
You're there.
Right.
And of course, Gridiron Heroes, you know, I'm glad they put our booth together. These guys are going home with a cooler, man.
All right.
I got to get back to our booth. I got to make sure your brother's not giving everything away out there. Okay. But I appreciate you guys. I'm going to let you finish up with Jeremy.
Okay,
Jeremy, you know where I'm at.
All right, thank you.
So one of the things that I heard you say was a year removed, people have forgotten about these people. Last year, we, you know, a year plus ago, we had a student athlete die. And so one of the things me and Bubba have actually been working on, ours was cardiac. So is an after action plan. So do you guys have any sort of plan in place, any sort of written procedures or best practices that you give out to people following this? Because our plan is not just after death, but catastrophic injury, where yours is a catastrophic life-altering injury. And for the athletic trainer to deal with that and for the family to deal with that, what do you have?
It's a tough subject because I've had coaches that have had a person dying on the field, also a person that was suffered a spinal cord injury. Those coaches are very few and far in between. But what the coach said to me was that for him, it seemed a little easier when he had the young man pass away because there was a finality to that. With a spinal injury, that's an everyday thing. He has to continue seeing that young man, and you know, while he's still in school, and it was harder for him to have to deal with the spinal injury because he knows that that young man's life was going to be changed forever, and it was a little bit harder for him. Now, what we do with our families, in fact, we 3 weeks ago we had to bury one of our kids. He was actually the youngest young man that was injured in Pop Warner football. He was 13 when he got hurt out of California, and he had received a lot of attention, but people kind of forgot about him. And we actually donated a van to him as well. But what we do is try to help with the families. We have other families that we try to put them together and let them kind of talk to each other, have that little support system.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we'll work with some of the families on the burial and helping with the funeral arrangements and things like that. In Texas, you know, the Texas High School Coaching Association has they'll provide $3,000, you know, that will go to a burial. Then we come back behind the coaching association and then pay the remainder of the funeral cost. And, you know, this is something that, you know, a lot of people don't talk about or not aware of that we do that as well. You know, we do a lot of things that a lot of people don't really know about. And sometimes people say, you need to talk about that more. We provide like Walmart cards to our families. We send $100 a month in the form of a Walmart card with the money that we raise. It doesn't sound like a lot. But $100 for some of the families that we have goes a long way.
Right.
They become very dependent on that $100 coming in. You have to understand that these families have given up a lot, not only physically, mentally, but financially as well, because someone in that family is going to lose a job, quit a job to become a caregiver. And that's what I had to do for my son, was to become a caregiver. I quit my job to become his full-time caregiver.
Right.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Right. And so, you know, that's one of the things that we do. We do a lot of things that people don't realize that we do with the funds that we, you know, donating 14 wheelchair accessible vehicles. That's very costly. We've put ramps into their homes. We put them in a pressure-reducing mattress because Medicaid and insurance won't always pay for some of these items. But they're essential for their health and well-being to have a pressure-reducing mattress to prevent those pressure sores and things like that. Well, we've had situations where a young man had to go through 8 surgeries before he could even get a pressure-reducing mattress. We don't want that. The thing is, they need the help now. Why wait, 4 or 5 years down the road? Some of them might not make it by that time because they're, something that goes on with their health perpetuates into even, more health problems for them. And so, if we have the funds, then we'll help the families right away. So,
all right. So you guys said you have a support group, and that is awesome. That's actually, like I said, what we're working on for athletic trainers, because, as a healthcare provider, I still would have to deal with, did I do the right thing, and how can I help this kid deal, and how do I deal with it? And, death is a little bit different than a spinal injury, but, and maybe like the coach said, this is harder because he has to continue to see that kid, whereas I got to go to that kid's funeral and, see him close the casket.
Right.
And knew it was done. And so do you have any written procedure, any plan that athletic trainers may be able to use or implement in their district for continued care for the healthcare provider? Do you have any recommendations or guidelines?
Well, basically what we do is, we're kind of unique in the sense that when we get the call, we'll go and visit with the families. We actually get our P's and Q's from the trainers. It's very important for the trainer to kind of keep up with what's going on with the family in the sense, when they start asking more questions about the injury itself, that's when the trainer knows to call us and says, hey, they're asking me questions I can't answer. So that's when we get the call. We'll go back in there and try to visit with them, with the families one-on-one, guide them through the process. Because a lot of times, too, is the paperwork that needs to be done. People try to put it off, and we come in. We want them to understand that it is very important to get all the government forms filled out as soon as possible because it's not about when the injury took place. It's when you submit the paperwork. So it's never retroactive, So you have to make sure that all the paperwork is being, and usually the care of the case manager is involved with that of the hospital. A lot of parents, when we go in, sometimes they don't know who the case manager is. They don't know who's supposed to be doing that. And so we can kind of guide them, and we get a lot of our information from the trainers when they start getting questions that, trainers don't know about. So we'll come in and talk to them about that. But I know a lot of times the trainers have to deal with the insurance problems and things like that, now for us, Chris can tell you what, he goes and talks to the kids about, I become a mentor to the caregivers, the parents. Chris becomes a mentor to the athlete, because we go through that. I get calls all hours of the night just because, sometimes parents just need to vent. A lot of times you may see an athlete that was injured still in a wheelchair, but he's going to school. He looks good and healthy. But a lot of times they have no clue. People have no clue what he has to go through just to get in the wheelchair, what that parent has to go through to put that young man in a wheelchair. It all looks pretty, pretty good and easy, but it's life-changing for that family and for that caregiver and for that individual. It may look fine, but there's a lot going through, not only mentally, physically, and financially for each one of those families.
And Chris, what has it meant to you to be part of this or start this foundation to where you're constantly helping other people rather than sitting back and being a victim? Excellent. So we, the Sports Medicine Broadcast and listeners and fans and that kind of thing, our predominantly athletic trainers. So if we, I know my friend Chris Shattuck over at Pearland Dawson has raised money for the Gridiron Heroes. If we want to do something like that, what do you recommend or where can we find out more?
Go into our website, gridironheroes.org. We have a program that we're trying to get initiated as well that actually helps raise money not only for Gridiron Heroes but for their, you know, their own football program. It can be for your trainers program or some of the trainers involved in HOSA. Also can, you know, get involved with our program. It's going to be called Gridiron Heroes Rewards Program. And but it would also be able to benefit that. It's not on there yet. We're trying to get all this put together now. But we have HOSA groups. Sometimes we'll do a Powder Puff football game for us. You know, they have the girls play against each other, seniors against the juniors. And I think it's Steele High School in Shirts does that for us, and it's a lot of fun. We have the Fill the Helmet campaign here down in the valley. We have sometimes we've had a couple of teams that have had some rival games do a rally for the cause where they sell towels with the two helmets of the two teams participating, and then they sell the, you know, the shirts. They get somebody to sponsor the shirts and raise money by selling those shirts for Gridiron Heroes. So, you know, there's a few things out there that can get, you know, some of the schools involved. We need more of the schools involved. You know, we've had a hard time getting into the schools. This is one of the things that's been kind of disheartening sometimes, because we need more of the football community to be involved with what we do. And again, we're not out to deter anyone from playing football. It's about education. It's about making sure these kids don't fall in between the cracks and get the support and the help that they need, the time that they need.
So if, say, I talk to one of my friends, because I got a guy that said, you know, hey, if you ever need a sponsor, let me know. So, and if I had him print towels that had, you know, our rival is Rayburn. Mm-hmm. And so I said, Pasadena Rayburn game, rally for the cause, gridironheroes.org. And then we sold those towels. We could send those funds to you, something
sure.
like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, and if I was to do that, would it be possible for you guys to come to that game?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes. We've been able to make them out there. You know, we get invited to a lot of places now, and then if it's in our schedule, yeah. So Chris and I are on the road quite a bit now. We go from time to time. We'll go to coaching clinics. Nike coaching clinic has picked us up. And we go out of state sometimes. And we'll go to some of those. We may have some events that we try to do with our kids. Like last year, we actually went to California and took our Gridiron Heroes from the California area to the Cowboys training camp in Oxnard. And it was a lot of fun, you know, to get those groups together. So, you know, we stay pretty busy. Chris and I are always on the road. So we're, you know, we go to football games a lot of times. We'll take the guys to different games. We've been to like a TCU game or SMU game and, you know, get a group of guys go to those games. And we've actually done a couple of Aggie games as well. So, you know, just depends. You know, we stay busy.
All right, very cool. One last time, someone wants to get a hold of you, Eddie.
You can go to gridironheroes.org. You can call me. My number is 210-849-9250, and it's a San Antonio number. It's on our website as well. So that's the easy way to get a hold of us. And again, you know, we hope and pray no coach and trainer, AD, or anybody really has to call us for an injury. We would love to have more calls for saying that their football community, you know, would like to get involved with helping, you know, raise money to take care of those that have already been injured.
All right, very good. Chris, you got any specific way you like for people to get a hold of you? Through him.
At all hours.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, Jeremy Jackson, the Sports Medicine Broadcast. We're at SPATS 2016. This will be Gridiron Heroes. SPATS 2016, so it'll be sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/gridironheroes SPATS 2016. anything you do could help, and it's really when your kids, you know, watch the video or they go to the website and see some of the stories and that kind of thing, raising the funds to give to somebody else does something different than raising the funds to buy them t-shirts or raising the funds to, we're taking a field trip to Disney with our kids, we got to raise a lot of money, but if we allow the kids to see, hey, let's shift our focus to us-centered, to other-centered, then I think it can really benefit them for the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really hoping that we can do something this year to benefit you guys, or if they decide another organization, mm-hmm. then another organization. Mm-hmm. But gridironheroes.org, check them out. I'm Jeremy Jackson, Sports Medicine Broadcast. That's a wrap.